Welcome to the Home Study Course, sponsored by the Healthcare Training Institute, homestudycredit.com. This course is entitled Cognitive Therapy for Chronic Pain. Our primary intent for this home study course is to provide quality education to foster your professional growth. The Institute has provided quality education since 1979. Hi, my name is Jared Baxter. We appreciate that you have chosen us as a vehicle for you to earn your continuing education credit. The purpose of this course is to assist you in increasing your knowledge regarding how to treat patients, clients, etc., dealing with chronic pain and fibromyalgia. As each case study is given, if the concepts seem to be applicable to your situation, I encourage you to turn your CD player off and make a few notes regarding the application of the principle to your setting. However, these notes are for your purposes only and are not to be sent to the Institute. Also, each track is very content dense, so feel free to replay the track to review the content either for your own purposes, or if you feel appropriate, play the track in an individual or group session for client education. Also, permission is granted to reproduce this CD. We encourage you to duplicate and give copies of this CD to colleagues, clients, etc., as you deem appropriate. We feel the information on our CDs is valuable. Thus, we have an interest in distributing CDs in as many ways as possible to benefit the greatest number of people who have a need and are receptive to this practical information. The questions in your answer booklet are sequential and deal with the section of content that preceded them. For this reason, to facilitate the answering of each question, you might read the question from the answer booklet prior to listening to that CD track. By knowing what the question is ahead of time, you will then know the content to listen for that contains the answer. So, just a hint. After you write down the answer to a question in your answer booklet, read on to the next question in order to give you a heads up to listen for the content that contains the answer to the next question. Merely write the correct letter on the corresponding blank line in your answer booklet. Each answer is only used once. Keep in mind, there is nothing tricky or hard about these questions. They are merely intended to verify the playing of this CD. For the purpose of brevity, most generally I will use the term therapists or mental health professional. However, don't let these terms deter you from applying the concepts to your situations. When you hear the word therapist, if your job title is social worker, psychologist, marriage and family therapist, mental health counselor, professional counselor, resident director, program assistant, etc., merely substitute the appropriate term that is the most meaningful to you. In short, don't let my use of the term therapists cognitively set you off track from hearing the content because your job title is school counselor, for example. I will also use the term client for the purpose of brevity. However, if you deal with patients, residents, students, consumers, etc., transpose client for the term that is the most meaningful to you in your work setting. So let's get started. Core beliefs. On this track, we will examine three concepts related to core beliefs. These three concepts of core beliefs include negative life events, self-identification, and culturally influenced core beliefs. Unlike automatic thoughts, core beliefs are mindsets that have been in place prior to the client's pain. These underlying belief systems are believed to provide the thematic content of automatic thoughts, and by changing the distorted core beliefs, the client can change the automatic thoughts. The first concept of core beliefs is negative life events. Core beliefs arising from negative life events often cause the client to question their spirituality and their grip on reality itself. The core beliefs arising from this type of stressor, obviously, are distorted and unrealistic. Often the client loses his or her sense of self-worth, and even a sense of justice in the world. If the actual life event was extremely dramatic, the client strives even harder to provide an explanation, even if that explanation itself is flawed. Kara, age 34, had been involved in a near-fatal car accident with a brand new car. She stated to me, "I had no business buying that car. I never deserved that car. Whenever my pain starts up again, I know it's the universe claiming its debt." Kara believed that her accident and pain was a justified retribution set out by the universe in response to her unjustified actions. Even clients who experience pain from birth can internalize these same core beliefs. For clients with chronic pain, the pain and the pain-related stressors represent long-term negative life events. an especially severe flare-up can be uniquely disruptive of a positive sense of oneself. Think of your Kara. Has a negative life event triggered a negative core belief system? The second concept of core beliefs is self-identification. Clients with severe chronic pain who have difficulty self-identifying themselves after the first onset often self-identify with the pain. They become so absorbed in the pain itself that they will no longer categorize themselves as a well person with a pain problem, but as a diseased pseudo-person. This can result in a self-victimization in which the client believes themselves so diseased that they are unable to function properly in the real world. Even if the pain itself is not acute enough to cause disability, the core belief that the client has internalized creates this reality. In short, they become their pain. Joshua, age 42, had recurring problems with his spine. After many surgeries, medications, and a plethora of doctors, he still believed his pain was worsening. He stated, "My back is becoming more painful now. People like me shouldn't have to work, so I think I might apply for disability." I asked Joshua, "But couldn't you ask for a more therapeutic chair or maybe frequent breaks to relieve your pain so you wouldn't have to completely quit work?" Joshua responded, "No, nothing works anymore. My spine is disintegrating and there's nothing I can do about it." I then stated, "Joshua, the last time they x-rayed your spine, there was no evidence of disintegration or the original inflammation." But still, Joshua maintained his position. "That doesn't mean anything. The doctor doesn't know me. I'm becoming an invalid and soon I'll be worthless." Did you notice how Joshua used the expression, "The doctors don't know me"? In actuality, the more appropriate phrase might have been, "The doctor doesn't know my pain." But because Joshua had so completely identified himself with his pain, it had become extremely difficult to dissociate himself from this preconceived core belief. Think of your Joshua. How has he or she identified with his or her pain? In addition to negative life events and self-identification, the third concept of core beliefs is culturally influenced core beliefs. These are certain beliefs that are perpetuated by society or a sub-society. For instance, if a society believed that back pain was produced by an injury, not a biological source, clients would seek certain amounts of treatment. Another, more extreme example can be seen in fundamentalist religious movements. Chronic seizures may cause an epileptic to ask for an exorcism, or a fibromyalgia client to ask for absolution. Also, other non-sufferers may perpetuate these beliefs, encouraging the wrong type of healing process for the client's pain. Louis, age 18, believed that his chronic migraines were a result of his diet. I asked Louis where he heard this information. He stated, "My mom always told me that whatever goes into the mouth will affect the brain. I think I may be eating too much sugar and just being in a head rush." In Louis's case, his culturally influenced core belief was readjusted with a few references to a doctor and informational pamphlets and books about chronic migraines. Although he still maintained a sugar-free diet, he also took the advice of the doctors and techs. Do you, like I, ever find it difficult when a fundamentally religious client brings up his or her beliefs to explain biological phenomenon? As you are quite aware, balancing between respect for the client and helping the client physically and mentally can be sometimes a monumental task. Although some culturally influenced core beliefs about pain may be harmless, there are others that prevent clients from seeking the kind of healing that would actually be beneficial to them. To understand and evaluate these types of beliefs, I ask many of my clients to write an essay about their own beliefs. For instance, where do they think this pain is coming from? What do they think is the best treatment for their ailment? And finally, how much control do they think they have over their pain? Carly, a 27-year-old client of mine, stated, "I believe my muscle pain is coming from an imbalance in my chakra points. I need to stimulate my immunity chakras. I believe that my level of control over my pain is high." While Carly's beliefs were New Age, she was still open to trying modern medicine in addition to her yoga. Because I believed her own beliefs did not inhibit her healing, I did not need to counteract these beliefs. However, there are some clients who believe in only seeking spiritual and mental treatments in their pain. How do you handle such clients? On this track, we discussed three concepts related to core beliefs. These three concepts of core beliefs included negative life events, self-identification, and culturally influenced core beliefs. On the next track, we will examine three characteristics of stress related to pain. These three characteristics of stress related to pain include spontaneous stress and chronic stress, stress as an automatic thought trigger, and physical manifestations of stress. What are three concepts related to core beliefs?